Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees, Text 9. Vimunshati yada kama manavo manasi stitan tarhi eva pundari kaksha bhagavatvaya kalpate vimunshati yada kaman manavo manasi stitan tarhyeva pundari kaksha bhagavatvaya kalpate vimunshanya yada kaman manavo manasi stitan tarhyeva pundarikaksha bhagavatvaya kalpate vimunshati yada kaman manavo manasi stitan tarhyeva pundarikaksha bhagavatvaya kalpate vimunshati yada kaman manavo manasi stitan Raksha Vimunshati yada kaman manavo manasi stita tarhyeva pundarikaksha bhagavatana kalpate Vimunshati yada kama manavo manasi stita tarhyeva pundarikaksha bhagavatvaya kalpate Vimunshati yada kama manavo manasi stita Tarjeva Pundarikaksha Bhagavatvaya Kalpate Vaishnavis Vimunshati Yada Kaman Manavo Manasti Stitan Tarjeva Pundarikaksha Bhagavatvaya kalpate Vimunshati yada kaman Manavo manasi stitan Tarhyeva pundarikaksha Bhagavatvaya kalpate Vimunshati gives up. Yada, whenever. Kaman, all material desires. Manavaha, human society. Manasi, within the mind. Stitan, situated. Tarhi, at that time only. Eva, indeed. Pundarika Aksha, O lotus-eyed Lord. Bhagavatvaya, to be equally as opulent as the Lord. Kalpate, become eligible. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, when a human being is able to give up all material desires in his mind, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours. Please repeat. O my Lord, when a human being is able to give up all material desires in his mind, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours. Purport. Atheistic men sometimes criticize a devotee by saying, quote, if you do not want to take any benediction from the Lord, and if the servant of the Lord is as opulent as the Lord himself, why do you ask for the benediction of being engaged as the Lord's servant? End quote. Sridhar Swami comments, Bhagavatvaya Bhagavat Saman Aishvaryaya. Bhagavatva, becoming as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not mean becoming one with Him or equal to Him, although in the spiritual world, the servant is equally as opulent as the master. The servant of the Lord is engaged in the service of the Lord as a servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover, all of whom are equally as opulent as the Lord. This is achintya bheda bheda tattva. The master and servant are different, yet equal in opulence. This is the meaning of simultaneous difference from the Supreme Lord and oneness with Him. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Has anyone ever been asked this question by an atheist? But it's still a good question. I had to read it a few times to really understand it. The atheist may say to a devotee, if you do not want to take any benediction from the Lord, and if the servant of the Lord is as opulent as the Lord himself, then why do you ask for the benediction of being engaged as the Lord's servant? Saying you don't want any opulence, but you're asking to be a servant of the Lord, and the servant of the Lord is as opulent as the Lord, so really it's just a trick for you to become opulent. So the atheist is criticizing the devotee as being hypocritical in some sense. So the Lord, however, does not give the aspiring devotee any opulence that would deviate the devotee from making progress towards the goal of pure devotional service. And then when the devotee does attain the level of pure devotional service, then whatever the Lord gives, the devotee accepts. And the devotee may be in an apparently poverty-stricken condition or in an apparently opulent condition by the desire of the Lord. And the devotee accepts whatever the Lord gives as the Lord's mercy. So the Lord is called Bhagavan, and Bhaga means opulence, and Van means one who possesses. So the Lord possesses all opulences in full. You know, this is described in the Vishnu Purana. Aishvarasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriya jnana vairaga yos chaiva sanam bhagam itingana. So Parashara Muni is explaining what are the opulence of the Lord. One of them is aishvaryasya samagrasya. Aishvarya means wealth, and samagrasya means complete. So the Lord possesses complete wealth. In this world, we see someone may possess some degree of wealth for some period of time. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, or her material reflection, Durga, may grant a conditioned soul some opulence, but usually it is a source of problems, of trouble, and one possesses it only temporarily, because Lakshmi or Durga, her benedictions are very flickering. Therefore, it's called chanchala, which means always moving. But Krishna possesses all wealth permanently and in ever-increasing amounts. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya. Virya means strength, so the Lord possesses all strength and power. Yashasa, yasha, means fame, so the Lord possesses all fame. Shriya, beauty, the Lord possesses all beauty. Jnana, the Lord possesses all knowledge. And vairagya, the Lord also possesses detachment or the quality of renunciation. Now in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that mamaivamso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana, that the jivas or the individual souls are part and parcel of him. So therefore they have part of his qualities. The Lord possesses them in full, and the jiva can possess them in minute quantity. So everyone, even in the material world, possesses some little degree of wealth. Everyone possesses some degree of strength, power. Everyone possesses some degree of fame. Some people are known all over the world. Some people are known only among a small circle of friends and acquaintances. I mean, some, you know, like if you're like President Obama or some famous sports star or movie star or music personality, you may be known all over the world by billions of people. Some people may just be known among a small circle, but everyone has some fame. Shriya, everyone has some attractive feature, some kind of beauty to some degree or another, even in the material sense. And everyone has a certain quantity of knowledge about some topic that they're knowledgeable about. They know some things, how to do something. And everyone has, to some degree, a little bit of renunciation or vairagya. But in the material world, all these things are temporary. They're coming, they're going. They don't fully satisfy one. They result in all kinds of problems and suffering. Maybe there's a little bit of enjoyment from possessing some of these opulences. But even then, it's just temporary because there's birth, death, old age, and disease that take these opulences away. You know, as being, you know, described in the previous verses. So, but Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality, possesses all these things naturally and in a full degree and in a way that's unmixed with the kinds of unpleasantness and suffering that conditioned souls in the material world experience. So Bhagavan, the syllables of the word actually have some meaning. This is also described in the Vishnu Purana, and it's also cited by Jiva Goswami in his Bhagavat Sandarbha, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ba means the sustainer or protector. And ga means the leader or the pusher or the creator. And va means to dwell. So the Lord dwells in the hearts of all living entities, and all living entities dwell within him. It's like Vasudev means the dwelling place of the living entities. So, Ba, the Lord is the sustainer and the protector of everyone. He's providing the necessities for all living entities. Ga, he's the leader of all living entities. He's trying to give guidance to the conditioned souls. He's giving them the chance to take advantage of his instructions as he presents them in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Va, he's dwelling within the hearts of everyone. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. I am dwelling within the hearts of everyone. So the jivas are by nature eternal servants of the Lord. Jivaras Rupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. And there Lord Chaitanya says, that is the eternal nature of the soul. That's its natural position, to be the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's possible to regain that position. And if one does, then one is, as Srila Prabhupada says here, equally opulent as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet at the same time, one remains a servant. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Britya. There's only one independent controller and enjoyer. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Everyone else, including his liberated soul, liberated associates, even his expansions like Balaram, Radharani, others, they are servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is explained in detail by Krishna Das Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But if one is situated in that natural position of service to the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, one enjoys the same opulence, although one remains a servant. And you know, we can see reflections of that principle, you know, in the world around us. You know, for example, if somebody's in the military, you know, for example, they may be a pilot, say of a jet airplane on an aircraft carrier. And although their salary is maybe $50,000 or $60,000 a year, they are flying an airplane worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, they've got a position on the aircraft carrier which is worth billions of dollars. So they're actually having a lot of, you know, facility because they've taken this position of servant. So the same, you know, principle operates in devotional service. We may be tiny, fragmental parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if we are situated in service to the Supreme Lord, then we share in the opulence of the Supreme Lord. Like the liberated souls in the Vaikuntha planets, you know, they enjoy certain types of liberation. You know, there are five kinds of liberation. One is called Sayuja. That means merging into the effulgence of the Lord. The devotees don't accept that. But then there's also Sarupya, having the same form as the Lord. In the Vaikuntha planets, the servants of the Lord have the same form. The Lord only has a few distinguishing features. You know, his Kaustubha jewel, for example, which the other ones don't have. There's Salokya, the opulence of living in the same planet as the Lord. Samipya, the opulence of being an associate of the Lord. Sarshti, having the same opulence as the Lord. Now, the pure devotees don't desire these things, but the Lord may give them to the pure devotees, even if they don't desire such things. Yeah, there are many examples of that, where the Lord gives opulence to his devotees, like Sudama Brahmana. You know, he was in the Lord's pastimes. He was a Gurukul classmate of his when the Lord was in the Gurukul of Sandipani Muni, and they were students together, and they had some dealings with each other. So later, Sudama Brahmana married, and he and his wife were living in a very poverty-stricken condition. And you know, the wife suggested to Sudama Brahmana that, well, maybe you should go visit Lord Krishna, who is now, you know, your classmate. He's now the king of Dwarka. So he went. He really didn't want to go, but he brought as a gift some chipped rice, and the Lord accepted this very humble offering. And when he went home, he found that his humble cottage had been transformed into a wonderful palace, and he had all this opulence. So the Lord may give such things to his devotees, even if they don't want them. Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Krishna taking the role of a devotee, teaches the devotees how to pray. Nadanamna janamna sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhagavad bhaktir hoitiki tvayi. I don't want wealth. You know, I don't want a beautiful husband or beautiful wife, handsome husband, or lots of followers. You know, I simply want your causeless devotional service lifetime after lifetime. So Srila Prabhupada manifested that mood. You know, he came to America with only 40 rupees, no wealth, no followers. But you know, Krishna eventually gave him so much opulence to facilitate his service. So in one of his purports, you know, Srila Prabhupada explains that when someone situates themselves as a devotee of the Lord, there is an exchange of opulences with the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada said many times, like the servant of the king enjoys almost on the same level as the king. You know, there's the big palace, you know, the servants are there. The king remains the king, the servant remains a servant, but they are sharing the same palace, the same wealth, the same, you know, the servants may have to, you know, ride in the same vehicle as the king, live in the same palace, take the same food as the king. And they serve the king some nice foods, but then they take the remnants. So Srila Prabhupada gave that example so we can understand our position. So we're living in the palace of Lord Dwarkadish, you know, as his servants. So he has his big temple palace here. And we are also able to enjoy the opulence of this palace of Dwarkadish, but as his servants. So I'll stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class. You were saying how, well, maybe I took notes wrong, but I think you were saying that Krishna is an independent supreme controller, right?
That's right.
But also at the same time, is it true that with complete love and devotion, he can also be controlled?
Yes, this is true. Can't say everything in every class, but that is another aspect, that not only does the devotee in some sense become equally as opulent as the Lord, as Srila Prabhupada was explaining in the purport, but he can actually, Krishna can agree to become the child of the Lord, become the servant of the Lord, like he agreed to become the chariot driver of Arjuna, the child of Mother Yashoda, because ultimately, you know, say Krishna raso vaisa, he's interested in rasa, loving devotional exchanges with his devotees. And there's a certain pleasure that the Lord can derive in taking the role as master, but there's an even higher pleasure that he derives in subordinating himself to the loving feelings of his devotees, like Srimati Radharani, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. He sometimes takes the role of being their child, being their servant, being subordinate to their loving devotion. So that's a higher level of understanding. That's kind of the ultimate truth. Archita?
Yeah, but it's not that we can in any way abuse that. It's not like you can pretend to be Krishna's servant, bring him under your control, and then, now I have him. It's not like that. There has to be. It's not like in the material world where you can pretend to be an American citizen, but you're actually a spy for Russia or something like that. You can't fool Krishna even for 1 second. So sometimes we hear that, and in the back of our minds we're thinking, okay, now this is my chance. I'll pretend to be a pure devotee, and then when Krishna comes under my control, then I'll be in control of everything. So it doesn't work like that. You have to actually be completely pure, and you can't fool Krishna. When you're on that level of complete purity, then there is no difference. That's where the simultaneous oneness comes in. We know, achintya bheda bheda tattva. You can be one with God, but still you remain different. So when you're one in your purity and in your purpose, the pure devotees are one in purpose with the Lord. There's no difference in purpose, so there's no problem with the Lord being controlled by them, because their purpose is not different from His. But our purpose is different. We want to be enjoyer, and when we go through this interim stage of trying to become a devotee again, we can develop these kinds of ideas that, yeah, if I just really pretend strong enough to be a pure devotee, then I'll be, but it doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
there is verse that goes like, devotee don't want any material or any spiritual benediction. So what does it mean? I mean, if I want a walk, revive my Svarup city, this is like spiritual desire. So how I can explain it?
Is it considered a spiritual benediction? The question.
Okay, devotee don't want any material or spiritual benediction.
Who says?
There is one verse.
What verse is that?
I just cannot remember. I just read somewhere.
It's good if we can confirm.
I read somewhere. Right?
The verse. Does anybody know the verse?
Well, actually, you just said in class today that the devotees don't even want those kinds of offerings. The four acceptable kinds. But then the Lord gives. Yeah, actually, devotees don't want, but the Lord gives.
Devotees just want servant. The ultimate is the devotees just want to be situated as servants. And then whatever Krishna gives, they take as Krishna's mercy. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.